I'm John Krall. Coming up on No Limits, we're going to talk about the role gender plays in politics. We're going to talk about whether the rules and expectations are different for women and men in political life. We're going to talk about whether there is a gender gap, and if there is, what causes it. And we're going to talk about the ways women may have changed politics. We will discuss all of this with a great panel of guests: Indiana Lieutenant Governor Becky Skillman, Indianapolis Marion County Council President Maggie Lewis, and State Senator Beverly Gard. And you. Please join the conversation by calling 1-866-476-3881, emailing nolimits@wfyi.org, or sending a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now, the day's news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking today about gender and politics, the role that gender plays in the political world, and we are fortunate to have a great group of guests with us, starting with Lieutenant Governor Becky Skillman. Lieutenant Governor Skillman, welcome to the program.
Afternoon, John. Great to be with you.
It's good to have you here. City County Council President Maggie Lewis. Councilwoman Lewis, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you for the invite.
Certainly. Glad to have you here. And State Senator Beverly Gard. Senator Gard, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I want to talk a little bit and just start an open-ended thing. And I think, you know, when I ask this open-ended question, everyone out there is going to say, well, how stupid is this guy? But the reality is we've got to start somewhere, and I'd like to start with a benchmark here. Is gender still a factor in politics? And if so, in what ways? I'll start with you, Lieutenant Governor Skillman.
Well, I think it's a great question. I have a little historical perspective, I guess, on this conversation. That's a kinder, gentler way of saying I'm old, and I've been in this arena for a while. I mention that because I was first elected to countywide office at the age of 25, assumed office when I was 26 years old, and this is in small town, rural southern Indiana. I never made gender an issue. I suppose I hoped no one else would make gender an issue. Never felt real bias. I will say, however, my first year or so in the Indiana Senate, I noticed some dynamics throughout my Senate district. When I would travel to town hall meetings or third house meetings, in one county in particular, I served with six legislators total, five men and myself. So during the introduction period, the moderator would introduce Senator Lewis, Representative Steele, Representative Oxley, Senator Young, and Mrs. Skillman. Let me just say, I am not easily offended, or I would not have remained in this arena for three decades or so. But I like to believe we are certainly beyond those times. Some things are the same the world over, however. I've traveled on six international trade missions for the state, and Bev, I think, knows what I'm going to say about one incident because she was traveling in the delegation with me. I can't tell you how many times I've seen my name written in advance or placed on a nameplate on the desk as Mr. Becky Skillman when I arrive in the country.
So the expectation is,
so not everyone expects a woman to be a leader.
Well, let me follow up real quickly on that point. When you say that they would introduce you as Mrs. Skillman rather than, you know, with
Senator.
The title, yeah, the honor, you know, and, you know, ultimately, not only are they sending a signal about you, but also, you know, in theory, we call everyone who holds an office by that because we want to show respect for the office as well. How did you deal with that?
I didn't mention it. I didn't bring it up because I was confident there were others within the sponsoring organization who mentioned to the moderator, well, next time let's make sure that we also use the title senator for Becky Skillman. It didn't hold me back in any way.
We are talking about gender and politics here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Councilwoman Lewis, where are we, do you think, in terms of gender and politics? Is it still an issue, a factor? And if so, in what ways?
You know, I believe that it still is an issue and a factor. For me, obviously, it's not an issue. I've been a female my entire life. I think it throws people off when I do show up, you know, to events or they haven't really met me. And then they realize that the president of the council is a female. They don't know what to call me. Is it Madam President, Mrs. President, Mrs. Lewis? And so I think it's more of an issue for other folks, not necessarily me. Our council is made up of 29 individuals, and there's only 7 females on that council. So I believe it still is an issue. Individuals are still trying to adjust to us being in positions of leadership. Politics is still a pretty much a male-dominant field, and so I do believe we're making progress, but we still have a ways to go.
And Senator Gard, same question to you. Where are we?
I think that it is still an issue, but perhaps in a little more subtle way than it was years ago. I've been in the Senate 24 years. I'm retiring in November. When I came in the Senate, and I'm talking about our Senate Republican caucus, well, the Senate in general, Republicans and Democrats had more females 24 years ago than they do now. Mm-hmm. The Senate next year will have 3 less females than it does now. I'm leaving. Senator Lawson is now Secretary of State. Senator Simpson is a candidate for Lieutenant Governor and had to give up her Senate seat. So none of us will be replaced with women. So our numbers are decreasing in the Senate instead of increasing. I've been in politics for 37 years. I was the president of the city council in Greenfield for a number of years and served actually for 13 years. And I can remember the first year that I was elected, we were building a wastewater treatment plant. Well, my educational and professional background is science. Mm-hmm. My major, that's what I worked in. That's what I love. I can remember sitting down with those engineers when we were going over the plans for this wastewater treatment plant, and they looked at me and they said, "We apologize. We know you're probably not interested in this." I was so stunned. I wasn't resourceful enough to even respond. And one of the other councilmen said, "Well, she's probably better able to understand it than we are." Well, that was the end of that discussion. When I came into the Senate, I immediately was pigeonholed in environmental issues, utility issues, because those require some degree of looking at scientific principles and so forth. And I can remember one of the early talks I made to a group, and I was introduced as a housewife from Greenfield, Indiana. They didn't talk about my educational and professional background, and I heard a voice on the back row say, "What does a housewife from Greenfield, Indiana know about environmental issues?" So these things are still there, but I think they're a little more subtle than they used to be.
Is it still, I mean, the one sort of thread I find coming through all of this is that fighting for, you know, the same level of respect and or courtesy is still an ongoing battle. Is that a fair assessment? I'll come back to you, Lieutenant Governor Skillman.
You know, I can't say that I've actually felt a bias within the political arena. Likely because I always felt comfortable there. But I do think all of these issues will be solved when we have more women involved. You know, we often talk about not shattering the glass ceiling. Well, is that because no one has tried?
Mm-hmm.
And Senator Gard is absolutely right. 1995 was the high point for a number of women in the Indiana General Assembly. So for that 15-year period, the numbers have done nothing but decline. So I think each of us here have a responsibility to encourage other women to participate at this level. And when I'm speaking to women's groups, I often tell the story about being in leadership in the majority in the Senate and often attempting to recruit other women to run for these seats. And I would speak to highly talented women and often get the same response. Oh, I'm not qualified for that. And yet I could talk to some men about some of the same opportunities. And to their credit, they thought they were born qualified. And I think, and I look at Maggie and know that, you know, Bev and I and other women have much higher expectations for the young women today. When I meet in young women's groups, that's hard for them to understand that women would say, I'm not qualified for that, because I sense the younger women have a lot more confidence in themselves, be that due to more education, experience, being involved at a younger age, maybe working for a political party. But it's all changed for the positive.
Although you know, as you say, the numbers don't lie here. The fact that we've gone through this period of decline, what accounts for that? Council President Lewis,
You know, I really don't know why women do not seek out positions of leadership and run for office. We are definitely qualified to do those jobs, but then there's still some of us who prefer to stay in more traditional roles. One question that I am often asked is, how do you do it all? And my male colleagues say no one ever asked them that, but I get that question all the time. You know, I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. I'm capable of doing several things at a time. You know, I am a wife, I am a mother, a servant leader. You know, I have a lot going on, but they never asked the men that. Back to my point is some women still prefer to take on more, I hate to say traditional, but those more traditional roles. We want to be at home with our children, still trying to figure out how do we do it all. But by no means am I suggesting that women prefer to stay at home. It's just trying to strike that balance.
And figure out, balance the responsibilities. It does sound like, though, there's a difference there, because you're right. No one ever asks men, you know,
exactly,
how do you do this all?
Exactly.
In part because the assumption is that whole other set of responsibilities in terms of the child rearing and all of that, they shouldn't have primary responsibility for. So in some ways, are the expectations much higher for women entering in political life, Senator Gard?
I think the expectations are higher, and I think perhaps the women have higher expectations for themselves. I found over the years that the majority of women that run, and I'm talking in terms particularly of local government and in the General Assembly, run because they really think they can make a difference. Mm-hmm. They're not looking at it as a stepping stone to something else. Now, some of them, like Becky and Sandra Lawson and Teresa Lubbers, went to the Commission on Higher Education, they have eventually gone on to higher positions. But I don't think they came into those jobs with those expectations that this was to be a stepping stone to that. They achieved those because they were really good at what they did, and they had a lot of talent.
We are talking about gender and politics here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email, nolimits@wfyi.org, or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. I want to ask just very quickly, Lieutenant Governor Skillman.
Well, since Bev brought it up, I thought I might just add that I was not one of those individuals who had a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, and by 2005, I would be the state's lieutenant governor. I chuckle, you know, at that concept. But when, as a county official, I was serving as the president of the Association of Indiana Counties, and of course, I spent some time in the General Assembly lobbying on behalf of county officials. And so while spending time there, you start to think, I know I could do that job, and in fact, I think I could bring more to the table and represent my constituents better. And Maggie's shaking her head.
Yeah,
yes,
I'm seeing a lot of nods of affirmation around here. Yeah.
So it's the situations you're in and the difference you want to make that causes you to take that next step.
We are talking about gender and politics here on No Limits. My guests are Lieutenant Governor Becky Skillman, Indianapolis Marion County Council President Maggie Lewis, and State Senator Beverly Gard. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, Director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, Executive Editor of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking about the role gender plays in politics. Our guests are Lieutenant Governor Becky Skillman, Indianapolis Marion County City Council. I knew I was going to blow that. It is. I was going to say, is that the longest title in creation? City County Council President Maggie Lewis. I'll make it easy. And State Senator Beverly Gard. We were talking before the break, really, about sort of the role of ambition and how that most of the women who get involved in politics don't do it with, you know, the five-year plan, I think, as Lieutenant Governor Skillman referred to it. But we've also talked a bit about the idea of the glass ceiling. And, you know, what we have not seen in this state is, you know, a woman serve as governor. We had a woman run, obviously, for mayor of Indianapolis and come up short. You know, and I realize I'm likely to offend somebody by using this kind of terminology, but they tend to refer to, and some political scientists refer to those offices as the father figure offices. Is there a challenge there in cracking that ceiling? I know, Lieutenant Governor Skillman, you thought about running for governor. Mm-hmm. What stopped you? We'll start with that process.
Well, I suppose that's a logical question for me. But let me say, too, I think depending on the job description, we do still have some biases. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example. In some parts of our state, I believe it is easier for a woman to be elected to the Indiana General Assembly than to be elected county commissioner. Mm-hmm. We still perceive that office to be one of hard hats and asphalt, when indeed it is a chief administrative position. It is the county executive's role. And of course, today we do have several women serving as county commissioners. So it's about these traditions that are associated with the office itself. I do believe we'll see a woman as governor, and I hope it's during my lifetime. Yes, I did seriously consider making that move a few years ago at this time. I was moving in that direction, putting infrastructure in place, certainly raising the funds necessary to be competitive. I had to step back, however, and after I realized I didn't quite have the same passion as I had when I ran for the state senate or when I ran for countywide office. And this is a much more serious step and taking on a lot more responsibility. And so I rationalized by saying it's not meant to feel the same this time. But then, you know, you pose the question to yourself, is this out of expectation or is this out of obligation? And coupled with some minor little health issues at the end of that year, I knew after a lot of soul searching and prayer that I was making the right decision, and I was so much at peace. I think if I had not been an elected official for, well, now 34 years, that would have played a role in the decision as well. But I did feel most sad that I might be letting down the women of our state, mm-hmm. because I had to be at least among those who came the closest. But my family and I are very much at peace with this decision, and I know it's time. I know it's time to move on to other things.
Well, and you raise another issue here that I'd like to get to, that I think all three of you, I'd like to have you weigh in on this idea that, you know, when you said in part you felt like you might be letting down women by not making the run. Nobody makes judgments about, you know, my actions and say they reflect badly on, you know, all men everywhere. There is, though, I think, when you're one of the these pioneers in this kind of position where you're expected to be a standard bearer and people make judgments and you feel a... Is that a burden that you feel like you carry to some degree, Council President Lewis?
I'm not going to say it's a burden, but it is a lot of... It's pressure. It's pressure because you do not want to let down females that are watching and looking. I recognize that I stand on the shoulders of some great female giants, and I don't want to let them down by not having a five-year plan that in detail as far as what happens next. And so I feel like they're watching. I feel that there is pressure to think about what comes next. I believe that our city and our state is ready for a female to be the governor, to be the mayor of this great city. And I expect it to happen soon. I'm ready for it. And I know others are ready. And it's not about what political party you represent. You know, I thought it was exciting that she was considering, Lieutenant Governor was considering running for governor. Just the fact that a female will step out front and be the spokesperson and willing to step into such a high-profile position.
Well, and I guess that's sort of where I was going to go, and feel free to take this, but we saw 4 years ago, for example, you know, in the Democratic presidential primary in this state, a lot of people crossed party lines to vote because it was, you know, in this state, not only the first chance to vote for an African-American, but also for a woman who was a serious presidential candidate. Does that linkage, you know, I've noticed, frankly, a lot of conviviality, even though there are, you're of different political parties here, and a degree of consideration and respect that I don't always see with male politicians. Is that because women approach the work of politics and leadership differently, Senator Gard?
That's a very interesting question, John. And I think perhaps women do approach it a little differently. Obviously, the three of us are partisans. We are mm-hmm. strong supporters of the principles of our respective political parties. But I think, generally speaking, women engage in the vitriol and perhaps the lack of civility that you see in politics now to a degree less than you see some of our male counterparts. I've noticed that. Women seem to back off from that a little bit. As mothers and wives, we have been peacemakers. We've negotiated all sorts of disputes at home over the years. I think women are particularly good at trying to resolve these sorts of things in peaceful ways.
We are talking about gender and politics here on No Limits. Please join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Lieutenant Governor Skillman, I could see your entire face lit up when Senator Gard was talking.
Well, you know, a story came to mind. I have many stories over three decades, but Senator Vi Simpson, of course, candidate for Lieutenant Governor currently, but Senator Simpson and I both served on the Senate Finance Committee at the same time through the years, and you know how contentious it gets toward mm-hmm. the end of a legislative session, especially in a budget adopting year, and it's excruciating over the last 48 hours or the last 3 or 4 days when you're attempting to pull it all together. And I can remember her standing up in one Senate Finance Committee hearing and saying, if all of the men will step out of the room, Becky and I can get this done in 15 minutes. And, of course, they didn't allow us that opportunity, but I was confident that was the case.
And is it because you have, you know, as Senator Gard said, all of these sort of negotiating skills just out of life experience. I'll throw this back to Council President Lewis.
Yeah, I think we were groomed that way. We're wired that way. You know, there's going to be times when we do have to fight and pull out the boxing glove. But for the most part, I think we just naturally have this spirit of negotiating and compromising.
Well, and I want to talk, since you're the first female council president, yes. right, in the history. Did your male colleagues treat you differently after you became president, or was there any sort of, and we haven't talked as much about that. We talked, mm-hmm. obviously, about Lieutenant Governor Skillman's experience entering political life.
First of all, I'm still just stunned that it's 2012 and I'm the first female to hold that position. I'm honored to be there, but it's still somewhat surprising that it's 2012 and I'm the first female to be the president of the council. Some of my male colleagues are very protective of me, and I remind them that I'm a big girl and I can do this, but they just want to protect me and tell me not to read the blogs and not to do X, Y, and Z. Very protective. And then there's others who want to have the conversation after I leave the room, want to have the real conversation and not want to have me a part of it. And so I do feel that at times I am treated different than my male colleagues. But, you know, I remind them that I was elected just like they were. You know, I do my homework. I know the issues. And so as the leader of the council, I want to be treated just like the rest of them.
And how when they want to have the real conversation after you've left the room, how do you deal with that?
I think it's their way of showing respect. They may want to drop four-letter words and this kind of really... Exactly. I think some of it is just a sign. It's their way of being respectful to Maggie as a female. And I don't take it personal, but I think it's important that I educate them that, you know what, I am the president of the council and I'll be part of every conversation that impacts that body. And so I just give them a nice little nudge and remind them that I'm there and I have to be included. I try not to take it personal, and I feel that it is my responsibility to educate them.
What Senator Gard said at the beginning of the program, that things have progressed, that really the issue now is a much more subtle one. Is there, you know, I guess I should ask before, even if things have gotten better, do you still encounter, you know, examples of overt sexism in the political world? Senator Gard, you've got that frank look on your face. I think you're about to tell me something.
I'm going to be very candid with this answer. Yes. And I see it in a particular age group and philosophical group of individuals. We're seeing more very young individuals, and I call very young, you know, early 30s, something like that. Ultra, ultra conservative individuals, they appear to me to have a lot less value in listening to females, our input, our ability as leaders. It's the people that we have worked with for years and years of our generation are fine. The issue is with these newer, younger, very, very conservative individuals.
And with the conservatism, there are all sorts of definitions of conservatism. Yeah. There are economic conservatives. What sort of conservatives are we talking about?
I'm talking of fundamentalists, more social conservative.
Okay. And
I was going to say the complete opposite. The biases come from older males. The younger men that I work with they appear to be accepting of who I am and my ideas and my thoughts. It's the older males that I think struggle with me, and then throw in that I am a person of color. And so I deal with that and my age and being a female.
You run the trifecta
yes.
here pretty much. Yeah. In terms of dealing with it. Lieutenant Governor Skillman, do you encounter overt sexism?
You know, maybe I'm just oblivious to it all, but I don't know what's being said. But to me, I haven't been offended in recent years. I was just thinking of one of the highest compliments ever paid was at a point during my service in the Indiana Senate, and I was the majority caucus chair. And often these meetings are held only for the members, and rarely do staff members get into those meetings. But on this one particular day, we needed a report from some segment of the staff. And afterward, this individual, a young woman, said to me, "Senator Skillman, I love to see you sit there and give orders to all the men. And I'm sorry. She said, I love to watch you give orders to all the good old boys. That's mm-hmm. how she put right. it, the good old boys. And one of the good old boys spoke up and said, Esther, you don't get it. She is one of the good old boys. And so I thought, you know, that was the highest compliment they could make at the time. That's when you know you've been accepted, when you're considered one of the good old boys.
Well, and we're talking about gender and politics here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us a tweet or connect with us on Facebook at WFYI. What I'd like to talk about is also the ways then, if there's less of the overt sexism, although it sounds like it's still a reality, what are the more subtle forms now that you have to contend with on a daily basis? Senator Gard.
That's a good question. And I think Senator Skillman hit on this, and I've seen this happen to me many, many times, introducing senators, the male senators, as Senator so-and-so. And then I'm either just Bev Gard or Mrs. Gard. That happens a lot, not just within the confines of the State House. It probably happens more out in our districts with people that aren't as connected to the General Assembly every day.
I see everybody nodding their heads here right now. Is that a common that you don't get the courtesy title and the whole council yes. President Lewis?
Yes. It's that. That's it. What do we call her? You know, they struggle with my name and is it Mrs.? Is it Madam President? Is it this? Is it that? And like I said, I'm not easily offended by it, but I can tell that people really do struggle with it. And then I think sometimes folks just do it out of spite.
Oh, it is a way of trying to demean you and something?
Demean the position. I think at times that now that there's a female in that position, that it's not as important as it's been in the past.
Oh, that is an interesting concept.
We want to change the rules and the importance of that position now that there's a female there.
Is that been the experience of others here who are Lieutenant Governor Skillman? I mean,
well, when we talk about it being more subtle today, I think it's our acknowledgement that people are still surprised. Mm-hmm. People are still surprised in the year 2012 to see a woman leading, mm-hmm. whether it is leading an international trade mission mm-hmm. to China, leading the city county council, you know, leading the state Senate. It's the fact that they're still surprised and it's not the expectation.
And I guess where I'd like to go is, where is that? I mean, it's not like having women in positions of power is an entirely new phenomenon now. We have had a couple of generations to start getting used to this. Why is there still the resistance? Senator Gard?
You know, it's hard for me to put myself on the other side and understand why these people are becoming resistant or are still resistant. But I think it's just that, you know, it's just something they're not used to. They're just not used to women in these positions to the degree that men are. One of the things that I think and I've noticed as over the years is the way that people that deal with us, not other legislators but lobbyists and so forth, talk with us is very different than the way they talk. Just for instance, at fundraisers, it's much easier for a man to go out and raise money for a campaign than it is mm-hmm. for a female. Mm-hmm. And I think that's all kind of tied together in just this perception and this feeling comfortable with who your officials are.
We are talking about gender and politics here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. My guests are Lieutenant Governor Becky Skillman, City County Council President Maggie Lewis, and State Senator Beverly Gard. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about gender and politics here on No Limits, and we're fortunate to have as our guests Lieutenant Governor Becky Skillman, City County Council President Maggie Lewis, and State Senator Beverly Gard. I notice it's a lot easier if I don't try to put the Indianapolis-Marion County piece in that to get through there. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, or you can reach us through Facebook or via Twitter at WFYI. I wanted to talk a little bit. We've talked an awful lot about, in your lives, how, gender plays a role in terms of doing the work that you do. I'd like to flip that around and talk a little bit. We have had a couple of generations now of women in leadership positions in politics. How have they changed the political landscape? And I'll start, I think, first with City County Council President Maggie Lewis.
I apologize. I'm not sure I really understand your question. I'm sorry. Can you repeat it?
In what ways have women changed political life in this country? What's the impact, the way that they change, either the way campaigns are done or, frankly, the way we govern?
On the campaign side, I really think that women are informed. And so when it's time for us to campaign, we want to stick to the facts and what the issues are. I think that women that are out there campaigning do it with a sense of class and integrity. And it's not necessarily just the bashing of the other person and speaking to what you will bring to that position. And I think that they bring a little bit more integrity to campaigning.
Lieutenant Governor Skillman.
Yeah, I don't want to be guilty of stereotypes and go to the extreme, because obviously there can be abuses by all individuals and in this arena. But I would say generally women are most interested in the power to accomplish, the power to do. It's quite different than having the power to use over people. And along those lines, I think that helps us have the power to bring people together, to get us to focus on our mutual interest, what unites us rather than what divides us. And I believe you can get far more accomplished in that fashion.
Do female
candidates. Something that's sorely needed, by the way, in today's discourse.
Well, and I guess that's where I was going to go with this, is that do women tend to approach things in a more bipartisan and collaborative fashion?
I believe that's been my approach. I think that women are more willing to come to the table and at least have the conversation and not quick to make a decision on hearsay. And so I think that's something that we do very well.
Well, and I guess for some reason, a story I remember from my days as a political reporter, it was a female candidate, explaining that the difference is that, in a situation where there's got to be some sort of negotiation, typical man goes in, looking to win, and, women go in looking just to solve the problem. Is that fair, Lieutenant Governor Skillman? You're almost choking on a smile there.
Well, everyone likes to win, of course, but if you're in the right mindset, the win is for the people. The win is not for you personally. And when you keep in mind, who it is you're serving and why we are in these roles, I think you end up with much better public policy.
Senator Gard, do women tend to be more collaborative?
I think, yes, women tend to be more collaborative just because of the life experiences that they have had, all of the things that they have to balance at the same time.
We are talking about gender and politics here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Jace, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. Your question, please.
I've been listening to the program, and I'm bowled over by the comments that pretty much all the panelists, aside from Becky Skillman, they make incredibly sexist comments about you know, giving orders to the men, or how great it is for a woman to achieve, you know, a position without regard to political party. And it's so sad that is so sexist to be looking at just the gender being a good enough reason to put these people in a position while bemoaning, you know, sexism in government or any other place for that matter. I'm just blown away by that. I can't believe that they don't see the irony in their own comments.
Thank you very much for the call. Well, I think what he's talking about is that there's a kind of reverse sexism here. I hope, Jace, that I am synthesizing your comment here appropriately, that, you know, in any way making gender a qualification. But I guess I would also say to Jace, I'm the one who posed the question, not the three of you. So yeah.
I was going to say that, you know, by no means am I trying to make gender an issue. I'm just responding to the question. And I'm not suggesting that anyone should suggest that or think that's woe Maggie Lewis, because I feel that I am in a great position. I'm not in that position because I'm a female and I'm not putting down any males. I'm in the position because I am qualified to be in that position. And I will continue to serve as long as I'm elected to be in that position. But I am not putting down my male counterparts. I'm simply responding to the questions that are asked of me, and I'm responding honestly. And so there are times where I know that I am being treated differently because I am a female.
Well, do we run into I'll throw this one to Senator Gard with the science background and all of that, but do we make the mistake here of thinking to some degree that equality also has to be, you know, that to be equal, something has to be congruous, you know, that it has to be exactly the same rather than allowing room for differences here?
I think to some degree that we do. I would agree with that. I think one thing that's important to look at, our numbers are smaller in the General Assembly, and I'm approaching this from the standpoint of a legislative perspective. But if you look at particularly the women in the Senate, almost all of those women, if they have served any length of time at all, end up in leadership positions. Mm-hmm. You can't say that about all of the men in the General Assembly, but the vast majority of the women that are there for very long end up in leadership positions.
Why is that?
I think it's hard work. Mm-hmm. And I think it is what they bring to the table in their particular areas of expertise, whether they're a committee chairman. When Becky was in the Senate, she had terrific political instincts and organizational skills, and she achieved an unprecedented leadership position fairly quickly.
Well, and I guess where I would go with this, I'm probably going to offend almost everyone by asking this kind of question, though, is it sounds like to some degree, because the initial barriers are still there toward getting into political life, that by definition, the women who have made it past those barriers have to have, you know, just a lot more on the ball than perhaps, you know, male candidates initially. Is that a fair analysis, Lieutenant Governor Skillman?
Well, if you're suggesting that it takes a degree of hard work
and determination
to excel, I think that's the same in any arena, quite frankly. If you know... Senator Gard suggested, if you look at the women in the General Assembly who have excelled, it's because of their hard work. It's really that simple. Our new Secretary of State, Connie Lawson, mm-hmm. When she came to the Indiana Senate 4 years after I arrived, Connie would be the last person left on the top floor working late at night. As I left, I would say, you know, it's really not meant that you get caught up every day, so don't think you'll get there. But she simply work so hard at the county government level, within the state senate as well. It has served her very well. It was recognized by even our governor, mm-hmm. and that's why she is today our Secretary of State.
Ross, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, John.
Certainly.
About 36 years ago, I was admitted to practice of law, and at that time, I can remember everybody in my class who was a female. There were three. And at that time, it was a real novelty to have a female attorney admitted mm-hmm. to the profession. And so over these years, it's to the point where now it's a very comfortable level of collegiality where I don't think I see any discrimination that's adverse to women in the profession of law. And it just could be that we're just behind the curve in leadership and state government here. It could be nationally as well, where we just haven't had the specific gravity of numbers here to cause a familiarity. It may not be anything more than that or anything less than that. I just wonder if the participants would address that question. In other words, is it perhaps a lack of specific gravity, a lack of numbers in the process that has caused this dissonance that some have spoken of?
Ross, thank you very much for the call and the comment.
Yes, sir.
Well, is that the issue in part that we haven't, you know, he uses the term gravity or, you know, mass?
I think he's absolutely right. And I mentioned very early on in the program, when we say there's no woman who's broken the glass ceiling at the state level or at the mm-hmm. federal level, well, how many have tried? I mean, we have to get more women encouraged and engaged and seeking these offices before we know it's going to be a possibility. And that's why each one of us here, in addition to all of our friends who are serving, have a great responsibility to participate in programs that train women for public service. And, you know, providing a public service comes through so many different forms. Lots of behind-the-scenes mm-hmm. individuals are needed as well.
Well, and I guess where I'm going, that, you know, the term that historically we've used for that kind of nurturing of talent and moving young people up the ladder has been, you know, the old boy network, good old boy network, where and we use even the term networking to do that. Do we need some equivalent of that, you know, to foster female leaders?
Yeah, I think it's very important.
Council President Lewis.
I'm sorry. I think it's very important that females that are in leadership roles mentor other females. I have two mentees that tag along with me to a variety of settings, and I just think it's important that I do that and prepare them and show them what's out there, what's available to them, and I feel like that's my responsibility.
But you look at it, and I'm going to use the example of the most recent Indiana Supreme Court appointment, Mark Massa. You can see, you know, very well-qualified candidate, all of that, but he'd moved through a set of chairs that prepared him almost precisely for this moment. Is there an equivalent kind of preparation or network fostering female leaders in this state, Senator Garth?
I know the Republican Party has what we call the Richard Lugar Excellence in Public Service, and they do a terrific job of mentoring. There's also the Leadership Academy. I suspect that the Democrats have something like that. But I think there are a lot of reasons that we don't get more women running, and I think we need to delve into those as organizations that serve as mentors and develop mentorships to really put our finger on what these reasons are. I suspect some of them are fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that some of it is the lack of civility in politics mm-hmm. today, the extreme partisanship we see in both parties.
Mm-hmm.
And there are probably other factors as well.
Lieutenant Governor Skillman.
Well, I mentioned a little earlier on in the program that we have much higher expectations for the young women mm-hmm. today. So I am a huge supporter of the Hoosier Girl State program. Not only was I a delegate mm-hmm. back in the day, by the way, it was the year in which we elected Jane Pauley as the governor of Hoosier Girl State. Okay. So now you know that Jane Pauley and I are exactly the same age.
An illustrious class.
But I've, you know, through the years been involved in the Hoosier Girl State program. I think you have to catch them at that very young age. My mother today will tell you she believes my 7-day crash course in politics and government through Hoosier Girl State was the beginning of my interest and involvement. So I try to yet today be present to speak to them, or they all come to the State House and I meet with them for a short while. But young women need role models, and the three sitting here today have a responsibility to provide that role.
I feel like we could continue talking about this for several hours, and unfortunately we've run to the end of our time. I would like to thank all of you, not just for being here, but also for the thoughtful discussion. I've learned a lot, and I know the audience has as well. I'd like to thank my guest, Lieutenant Governor Becky Skillman. Thank you for joining us today. Enjoyed talking with you. State Senator Beverly Gard, thank you for joining
thank
us.
You.
And I'm saving the most complicated title for the last. City County Council President Maggie Lewis, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
We will be back next week when we will be here to talk about same-sex marriage. We're going to have a lively discussion on that one. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Have a good week.
No Limits is a production of WFYI Public Radio, 90.1 FM and HD1. Producer, Sharon Alseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each Thursday at 1 p.m. for No Limits, rebroadcast at 8 p.m., and you can listen online at WFYI.org.